and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Also seems to be, and there's probably some national kumquat day or something else like that. There's always that. Also seems to be get your World Cup bets in day. Survivor, a pool sprouted up here at the office, and who knows what else. But today might be the day where we woke up and went like, oh, that's happening tomorrow. This is it. You know, we had some important reports of players being frisked.
Right.
If we didn't catch that, because we've blocked all of those messengers.
Officials not being allowed in the country.
Now
we have some of that.
So one of your friends told you, reminded you that the World Cup is happening.
I slept very late today, so I literally did wake up to, hey, do you want to be in a pool?
Joe.
Mm-hmm. And
he said yes.
I'm sure. And then, you know, I did some other stuff. I was away from my phone for a little while. I only had my iPad, and I get messages from Joe on my iPad, but the thread that started with all the people that are in the draft, obviously all the people are not Apple consumers, so that wasn't showing up on my iPad. And then, like, suddenly I looked at my phone and I had like 14 messages, and I'm like, oh my God, what, you know, someone in an accident? What? And I'm like, oh, this is what I signed up for? I'm in a draft now?
Yes.
I have to
pay. You are so in a draft.
I have to pay attention for the rest of the afternoon? Ugh. And then I didn't pay attention. Joe, you want to be in a pool? $25. Sure. I didn't, nothing. So no idea it was going to be a draft. I actually got through the two picks, my first two picks from home, mm-hmm. and thought, oh, well, at least I'm done with that. I didn't realize it was four rounds, which makes sense, the number of people and the number of teams that it would go on four rounds. And
that's all the teams.
Yeah.
So four times 12.
Now I'm just sort of like still like.
How did you pick the teams? Let me see here. I have it right here. Belgium and Senegal. You picked 11th.
Yeah.
At the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Belgium and Senegal.
Belgium,
how did you pick those teams?
Belgium looked like, you know, the best team left.
Based on what?
The FanDuel odds.
Winning the tournament?
Winning the tournament, winning a round, winning whatever. I was like, that looks like, I'm right, Belgium. I've heard of Belgium.
I've
heard of Belgium. Okay.
They've been a little bit dangerous in this thing.
Wasn't it Lukaku on Belgium, or do I have that wrong? Yes. So I remember seeing him there when he was on Man United, maybe last round of this, like, you know, World Cup 4 years ago. Fine. I'll take Belgium.
Formerly Everton, I believe.
Okay. Yes, that's right. Lots of other places, too, I think. And I don't think he's still active.
Like for the Buffalo Stallions. I used to go to those games in the odd.
I don't know. Maybe he's in MLS now, and I don't know it.
He might have scored against the San Francisco Fog in the odd one Sunday afternoon
so
I was there.
Where I was picking, you know, when I first realized what I had, you know, suddenly, like, I guess I better do a little. Let me look at the odds. Let me get an idea what I want to do here. I thought, okay, and I'm like, oh boy, I hope I can get the Netherlands, because I even had a meme. I had like an orange, like a cartoon orange, and it said, you know, I'm like, I'm ready to play the game. Like, cause some of you guys were sending, you know, you weren't saying who you were taking. You sent out
I did.
Who did you pick? I don't even remember.
Argentina.
Argentina. Okay. So
at five.
Yeah. So like, all right, I'm, and then of course Netherlands got picked before it.
I sent out a GIF.
Yeah, that's what
of
that's,
Messi holding the World Cup from the last time they had the World Cup.
Yeah.
And being carried on somebody's shoulders.
Yep.
I did that. I picked him for the colors.
So, okay, that's a, you know, as good, always, as good a way as any. And really, the Netherlands, my favoritism towards the Netherlands is basically that they wear orange.
Yeah. Argentina, for me, is the best uniform in soccer.
So, you know, it's not complicated. But anyway, I just thought that was a bit. Then, the you know, two picks later, because Brian Koziol was after me, he did his thing at the turn.
That guy is sharp.
I took Senegal because one of the only things I have read about the World Cup featured like a sentence, and honest to God, it could have been written by one of your kids. I have no idea what the source of this was, but I don't even remember what the sentence said. I just know the spirit of the thing was, watch out for Senegal. They could make some noise. I'm like, okay, well, that's I'm picking the 14th team here or 13th team here. I'll take 14th. Yeah, I'll take Senegal.
Quite possibly not written by an actual person at all.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Maybe that's better.
Maybe even it's possible I was reading some story about the Senegal women's team playing in some African tournament or something. I don't even know. I saw something that said Senegal might be good. I'm in.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, how much more homework am I going to do?
I'm excited to end up with one of the very worst teams.
Let me go find out how their manager uses their subs. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Jim May, I believe, is the manager.
Get out of here.
No, I'm just trying to stuff in as many Stallions references as I can. Show off, like, soccer knowledge that's not real. Being a real person, I'm not going to be as good at this as a computer would.
Right.
But I'm glad to have it. Argentina, Croatia, I'm on the clock. I'll wait. Mm-hmm. Seems unprofessional to just, well, you know, we are talking about it, but to make a pick now.
Yeah.
People are watching and listening. And if I wait, then that gives you more time to think about who you're going to take next.
Oh, I've got a ton of picks there. And besides,
I think I know my pick.
What am I really doing? I mean, there's not, all I know is that Costa Rica's not in, so I can't take them. Because I would take Costa Rica just be, you know why? Because I've been to Costa Rica twice and I love it there.
The last round, you're taking a country you visited.
Right.
If there is one.
Yeah, I don't. I think I might be in trouble there.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, not
not a country.
No.
Hmm. Well, we'll get back to you on that. Joe Goodberry today at 4 on the Bengals. I'm stretching to say, like, as we get closer to the season, right? It's still more than 3 months away. But yesterday, talking about the schedule and the standings and these division winner bets and the like, that's a key team. I think if we're going to play the game again with the one seed and the playoff, like, would you take and all the different possibilities for the season, I mean, I'm willing to assume the Bills are at least pretty good. Double-digit wins. I want to be able to assume that, to count on that.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to the one, most years, I'm going to need 14 wins.
At least 13.
I guess I should have looked that up.
At least
12 happened when Tennessee got it.
Yep.
The 13 seconds year, I believe they had 12. That might not even have been 17 games yet. I should have looked this up. But I think the problem... A problem the Bills might have, well, I'll back into it. First, you have to be better than New England. And I'm not going to be too worried about that. Like, it's possible that New England is trending the right way and the Bills are not. But I'm not going to, like, break down in this sort of analysis by the Patriots, you know, well, they're never going to beat the Patriots. Like, I don't look at it at all like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I definitely do not feel like they're never going to beat the Patriots. I think anything is possible, certainly. Like, they could have been the beneficiary largely of that soft schedule and could be looking at a step back. You know, who knows for sure?
Yeah, I'm not going to – I mean, if you're expecting New England to win the division, of course, you can't even start a conversation about the one seed and a bye and home field and everything right that comes with. You're just talking about getting into the playoffs. And I don't know that, well, we had this last year too. I don't know that 5, 6, and 7 are that different from each other. So New England is a non-starter for the conversation. So
right. That's
over there. I think the AFC West, I feel that probably the top three teams there are close enough to each other that one of them doesn't have that 14-win mm-hmm. season. Now, Denver just did, and that was not expected, but it was also not expected at all that Kansas City would lose 11 games.
Chiefs were so down, right. Yeah.
So I'm thinking that if you were to rank the divisions by the likelihood that the division winner is the one seed, I would put the AFC West last this year. Because the Chargers are probably pretty good, the Chiefs are probably at least pretty good, and Denver is also pretty good. So I think that there's some attrition there.
I like that that's back in the window for us, because when Russell Wilson first got to Denver and Davante Adams went to the Raiders and Herbert still already wasn't like somewhat of a letdown, which is largely, I think, what he's been. It was, I remember sitting in here with you talking plenty about how great, I know the Chiefs are great, but these other teams, the division's going to cannibalize itself. And that'll be good for me. And, of course, that didn't materialize when we expected it, but that doesn't mean it can't ever happen. And maybe we're staring at a year where it actually does. It got flipped around last year enough that Denver ended up on top, of course, and Kansas City had the bad year. So, yeah, I like that. Like, I don't think Kansas City will have a bad year, but maybe 11 or 12 is the best they can expect to do, or any team in that division maybe could expect to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying, too. Yeah. So then AFC South, I've got Tennessee, no way. Indianapolis, probably not. Jacksonville and Houston, in that last year was 13 and 12. I think they're next. I think Aaron Schatz says Houston is the number one seed. That's his prediction. I like Jacksonville more, but I like his, you know, how he thinks. And he thinks they're due for regression. So using his starting point, maybe, and the Bills go to Houston week one, maybe Houston is the, you know, they're in the conversation for this. I think, though, the AFC North is the one where you might end up needing the Bengals. Or if the Bengals are great, then the Ravens. You might need them both to be good. And then if Pittsburgh's good, too, we talked about them yesterday a little bit, then you could have the AFC West thing, where you have three teams mm-hmm. that are all in each other's way. But if that, I'm not a Pittsburgh fan, and I have respect that Cincinnati is favored 15 times in their 17 games this year. That's a very good sign for them. That's something we'll talk about with Joe Goodberry later. But if they're last year's Bengals again, then the Ravens could be the problem. The Ravens could end up being the number one team to prevent the Bills from that goal that they've never achieved yet, that bye. Mm-hmm. So Cincinnati's, the Bills don't play the Bengals. They do play Baltimore. That's their only game in that division. And that could end up, if this logic holds, being a huge game. It probably will be anyway, but other than the New England games, maybe it's there at the top of the list for this year, Baltimore. So the Bengals could be important.
And I'm excited to talk to Joe, because we've, you know, like you've already referenced, we've heard, you know, and it's not news. I mean, everyone knows it. The defense has been uneven, to be kind, for a few years now, and really preventing them, you know, that and injuries. I mean, Burrow, you know, had an injury-riddled year. That was 2 years ago now, I'm trying to think. Was that last year? He's missed time. That derailed them to an extent. But even if he'd been healthy, who knows with that defense? And that still seems like that's the vibe. But I'm curious, like, what Joe Goodberry thinks about that, following them as closely, because that's a team that's easy. It's been a couple of years since they've been in your hair, and it's kind of just, it's easy to just be a victim of the moment and sort of go, I don't have to really worry about them anymore. And I don't think that that's right. I mean, we'll see about the defense. You know, who knows? Maybe the ball bounces their way a few times and they get a turnover even though they've given up 450 yards or something in a game and they get away with it, because that happens in football. So I certainly have a ton of respect for that offense still. Like, Burrow to me is not – we had a guy yesterday talking about him as his favorite, you know, I think he's the best guy in the league, or he's 1A with Allen or whatever. And I've never felt that way about Burrow. I like Mahomes and Jackson and Allen just because of their athleticism more It doesn't have to be right. Like, Burrow has certainly thrown for plenty of yards and has presided over a lethal offense. So he's excellent. I just like a guy that can move around a little more. That doesn't mean you can't, you know, be a super team with him as your quarterback, of course. So they are a big, I don't want to say wild card because that's a certain phrasing, but they're a team to me that really is interesting to think about for this coming season.
He started 8 games last year only.
Okay.
One of them was here, and that was in December. So I don't remember what the storyline was, but he did play in the game against the Bills when they were already 4-8, and they lost that game 39-34 to the Bills last year. So, yeah, Cincinnati could be important in this. I don't remember anyway talking so much about when Aaron was on his Houston take, but there's one where, you know, again, like you kind of, for the Bills to get the one seed, the all-important one seed, you do need there to be competition in each other division, like there is in the AFC East or was last year, that held, I guess, the Bills and the Patriots back to different extents.
Right.
But you want to have at least 2 teams that are, you know, sparring for first place, and maybe they'll beat each other and help you out.
Yeah, Houston and Jacksonville, that's helpful. I don't know what Indy's going to be. This is where you might want to root for Tennessee to improve. You know, like that, have that hit, because if they could steal a game off of Houston or Jacksonville, that could be huge. Like, because that's certainly going to be a matchup that the two playoff, Jacksonville, Houston, would be favored and maybe even pretty significantly. And if Tennessee could, you know, steal a win against them, either of them, ideally even both of them, you know, then all the better for you, because that drags somebody down, you know. And of course, if you're thinking about the one seed from Houston or Jacksonville's perspective, you're hoping the Jets or Dolphins can do that. But neither of those teams, to the Bills or Patriots, but neither of those teams are, I think Houston for now, I feel like, is on an upswing. Just because of the draft and the new coach, and if the quarterback has promise, I mean, that can fall apart in a hurry. But Miami and the Jets are not, to me, all, you know, we're not waiting to see if they take a step this year. They're mostly just hoping to not drown. Whereas Tennessee might be, I don't think they should be thinking about contending for anything, but they could improve, and that could help, you know, the overall picture for the Bills.
There are a lot of ways to end up in the same headspace, but it's especially upsetting or frustrating, at least disappointing, that the Jets have been so bad for this whole stretch of Allen's years, and the Patriots were pretty bad for most of them, and the Dolphins have been up and down but never great, and the Bills have yet to take advantage of that,
right,
to this division point. Like, they've had years, have they not, where they swept the division, mm-hmm. and it still wasn't, because Kansas City was winning every game by 1 point the 1 year, a couple of years ago. And just, like, it's not worked out for them. But, right, I mean, they have 2 teams in the division that probably are so far down, you never know, that you want to think you win 4 of those games. When I look at their schedule, that's, like, it for games where I feel like it's kind of, it's never exactly this, but stress-free.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 2 Dolphin games and the 2 Jet games. After that, what's the fifth, if you accept those are the weakest 4 games on their schedule, the softest, what's next?
At the Raiders.
Okay, that's probably right. Or else it's what? What's
I don't even know.
What's that up against?
At Minnesota, maybe, would be next to me.
Yeah, got to be Vegas.
Because everything else, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Detroit was not a playoff team, but I think they'll rebound. So, like, I think they're excellent. Chargers, no. Rams, no. Patriots, obviously, no. Yeah, I think it's got to be Vegas, and then Minnesota are the other 2 games. And I don't think they're closer to coin flips to me than they are to feeling, I don't know, you didn't say automatic, but, like, you know, comfortable. Jets, Dolphins, I should find my way to winning those games, even if I maybe have my B-minus or C game. I wouldn't say that about a game in Vegas with the talent they've got on offense now. We'll see, the quarterback is playing by then, whatever. I think, you know, but that's the next game that I would look at as, you know, favorable.
Week 6. Yeah, what's up with that? Why is Ian Harditz tweeting about Mendoza's first game being week six.
Why wouldn't it
be week one?
I don't know what's going on there.
Too soon to say? Like, there's no real evidence yet?
Yeah.
Is anybody talking?
I mean, I've seen... Yeah, they're doing, the entire league is doing mini camps, so they're practicing. I don't know what the coach has said, if anything, Kubiak, the new coach, about what their plan is there.
It's gonna be so hot
if they're just gonna. It probably is hot. If there's biding time, because what? Cousins is there, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's certainly a certain kind of baseline. You know. That you can, you know, lean on if you want to.
Hey, we really haven't talked that much about them, and I haven't really heard that much about them in this way. But for all the different years of our, even when the Bills were not a part of it, conversations about what the team that drafted the quarterback at 101 should do, it's always play them, unless it's a team that is somehow not terrible, and you can have the luxury of waiting, and maybe you're actually decent and you can sort of slow play it. But even then, you're wasting a year, maybe, of that guy. I don't see the Raiders as any sort of atypical example. Like, they're bad, and they've been nowhere. And whatever Kirk Cousins is or has been, that doesn't affect this for me at all. Like, this is still, you got to play Mendoza. You're in a tough division. You're not expecting to win. You shouldn't be.
No, I think you want to get him work, I think, is what you want to do.
Get him on the field.
Yep.
I think so. So I wonder if somebody said something to the contrary. And even if so, maybe so what?
Yeah, it's just meaningless chatter, probably.
We need you for this. Which, by the way, you are here unexpectedly.
Yes,
so you can offer your expertise on this.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
The guy cares that much.
That's what it
come
is.
In. Yep. That World Cup thing got you. I think you couldn't stay away.
Yeah, no, yeah, sure.
Your coworkers, your son,
yeah,
me, like you were going to be in the middle of the, I got to get this pick in or else people are going to be mad. Do they know that I'm busy right now?
Well, it's also
beef. They all work here.
It's also our very first Beef on WEC Wednesday, so I didn't want to miss that.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think we're giving away gift cards to for a place that serves beef on WEC.
Let's go.
Connor's Restaurant in West Seneca is a new partner.
Great.
Yeah.
That's today.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Mike, I had a concert I was supposed to go to, and it got postponed. The lead got Tyler Childers, his partner. I don't know if they're married, but they have a child already, and his partner went into labor, and so he had to postpone the next two shows on the tour, and Buffalo was one of them. So
be sure to catch us today, next hour, for Beef on WEC Wednesday, brought to you by Connor's Restaurant, 3465 Seneca Street. Your chance to win a $50 gift card to Connor's, where every Wednesday score four Connor's Beef on WEC meals for just $55 or one for $15. Connor's is better. 803-0550 for your calls, talking about the AFC prospects for this year. We'll talk to Joe Goodberry, as we mentioned, at 4. And Sal Capaccio at 5:30. Thanks for listening. Lines are open.
He's a competitor. He's the loudest guy in the room at all times. You know, he's a constant competitor. You know, nothing that he does is half speed. He does it full speed. And to have a guy like that in your locker room, pushing your guys and forcing them to compete even harder, those guys are gems, and I think every team needs that type of guy.
Josh Allen talking about Sal.
Wow.
He's always the loudest guy in here. You need high energy. Well, he's not the loudest guy in there, and he's not on the team either. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Pretty quick to always X, always anything. I mean, how long has he been here? How many times have they been in the same locker room? Four?
A dozen, maybe, tops. I don't know.
He's already established that he's the loudest guy. Yep. But okay, veteran pickup by the Bills this year. Sal Capaccio will join us in a couple of hours. 803-0550. The pick is in. I went check you.
Yeah, I saw, because I'm in this text thread that is making me want to die.
You got to love that.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love?
Yeah.
Can you appreciate how Bulldog would be reacting and feeling about this?
Did you at least think of that when the thread first started? Did you think like Chris probably wants to leave this thing right now?
I thought about it eventually when I realized you were in it.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I'm making do.
You're toughing it out.
I'm trying to find my way. Yeah.
It's a nice little way to do it.
Yeah, you know? It's fine.
It's
yeah.
better than email.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Signing up at Sleeper or something. This is the best you could hope for. You don't want Joe calling you.
No, what I think I was hoping for was like the thing I joined at More Room, which was just, here's $20. Tell me who I got.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where
we can find you more of that.
Where I ended up there. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you can. I thought that's what I was agreeing to when I sent Joe the money, and then suddenly there's a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure.
Funny.
Yeah. I love that.
Good luck. Hang in there.
Yeah, I think I'll make it.
Michael is with us. Hello.
Hey, guys. I had a question just to spark conversation. So if you were debating players in terms of their peak, do you think there needs to be a certain threshold of time that they had to be at their peak to compare? So, for example, like, Cam Newton had his one great season that people would refer to as one of the greatest. And then obviously a guy like Aaron Rodgers probably had multiple. Do you think Cam Newton's case is diminished in this conversation versus a guy like Aaron Rodgers, for example, because it was only 1 year? Like, is there a requirement of peak? Does that make sense?
Well, what are we trying to figure out? Who's better?
If you're debating, because obviously if you get into a conversation of who's better overall, then you're going to say Rodgers.
Right.
If you're debating who at their peak was the better quarterback, I think that's when maybe in the weeds. And maybe it's not the best example of the two guys to compare, but in terms of like a guy like Cam Newton, his best year was really just that 1 year, whereas Rodgers was multiple years, which could get into the weeds of the who had the better peak debate.
I don't know. To me, it seems simply two different questions. If you want to find out who had the best season, compare everybody's best season. If you want to figure out who had the better career, of course, longevity would matter. So
yeah, and the length of someone's peak, you know, obviously, you know, I think if you're like one guy has like, you know, they're comparable enough that you've got say 4 or 5 seasons to compare, right? What are you going to achieve here? Like looking at, okay, well, this guy's best year within that is this much better than that guy. I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to get lost in it. But I think Cam Newton had an all-time great season. And that's really the story of his career.
It's not better than Rodgers' best seasons, probably.
Okay. I
think.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Never thought about lining them up next to one another.
Me neither.
But I, you know, I never think of Cam Newton as an all-time great, even though he had a great season, because he wasn't great for long enough.
It's an interesting thought in a certain way to me, having last week at some point, it was Wembanyama. It was some game he played. Might have been game one against Oklahoma City.
Yes, that's the game that sort of got me in.
So what did they do in that game? Everything?
It was a last-second
shot.
Stat line was insane, yeah.
They won in overtime, maybe?
Yep, he played a ton of minutes, double overtime it was. He played a ton of minutes, and like triple-double, the other stuff was really high too, like whatever didn't get to double digits. I don't know if it was the actual triple-double, but it was like lots of points, double-digit rebounds, steals, assists, blocks. Like it was just a massive stat line.
So here's the point. There was a Lebatard show clip the next day where somebody on his show made the case that he is the greatest basketball player of all time. And no, he hasn't put the time in like Jordan or LeBron. I mean, nobody's going to put more time in probably than LeBron, who's still going. But you know, you can't just take if somebody's first game in the league is 50, 20, and 10. They don't have to be the greatest player ever, but this guy has the look of it. He was a first overall pick, franchise player, and here it is playing the defending champs in the playoffs, and he does that, maybe similar to what Jordan did against the Bulls that one time when he was younger, not a rookie. But anyway, this somebody on that show, whose name I don't know, made and they shared it. The argument was, I know that it's not time for this yet, but he is the greatest player ever. And that's pretty jarring to hear someone say about a guy that's so young. But it also makes sense. Like, maybe you would have said about Cam Newton or whoever, Allen, Jackson, Mahomes, somebody like that, so early in their career. Well, people got there pretty fast on Mahomes. This is the best guy ever. But, you know, when we're actually, again, like, this pretty clearly two different conversations.
Right.
Where one is, well, for one game, maybe, or whatever, like, who do you want? And then another is the obvious reality that to be an all-time great, you have to sustain it for a long time. So anyway, I don't know. It's not complicated for me. But it's interesting to think about somebody, like, could you say that? It's wild to say it.
I think it's wild, and I mean, I'm sorry to be so boring, but I think I need a could be on the front end of that. You know, like, certainly you see what he's capable of, but having one great game in the Western Conference Final does not elevate you past dozens of other people to me. Like, the potential for him to reach that peak is absolutely there, but you got to go do it. you got to put your team on your back again tonight and even up this series before I'm ready to talk about you being an all-time great. I mean, it's all speculation right now. So I just, you know, that sounds kind of like a little hot takey for me. Like, he's the best basketball player ever.
No, well, it definitely is, but it was logical enough for me. Like, just, I got it. I don't think I want to walk around saying it, but I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we talked about Allen and the possibility that he retires in, say, 5 years or something if he breaks down a little bit. And he made a point about that to Tyler Dunn, some suggestion that he might be thinking that way about his future. He needs to be able to play the way he plays, and if he can't, then maybe he's going to check out. I didn't ask it yesterday. Is he already in the Hall of Fame? No, I think, Allen. But we probably all assume that he'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But he will have to. So he's in between Wembanyama and LeBron. Like,
right.
He's going to have to do more of this.
Right. He's already stacked some really, really fantastic seasons that make for the start of a fantastic Hall of Fame resume. But, yeah, you got to fill it out. You got to fill in the back end of your career with more dominant years.
It might be close to Rodgers at a certain point when he was much younger. Rodgers won it, I think it was 2010, that season. So that's before where Allen is now.
Right.
And then he ended up with maybe four MVPs, two were in late 30s. But there might have been a point for the people that have the Hall of Fame debate where you might have questioned Rodgers because it was only one.
The one championship, right.
But then he kept going and won two more MVP awards, and now is still playing, and now he's undeniable, I think.
I agree.
So I don't know if Allen will end up playing into his 40s, but he might need to get to a Super Bowl at least. At least get to one. Because you can't just go your whole life with, like, oh, well, Kansas City exists.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Cincinnati made it. New England made it now. And he was alive for it. Like, he was
right
in the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, I mean, both times.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously could have had a lot to say about New England making it at all. Like, if they find their way to get past Denver, then they're playing in Foxborough for the AFC title.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, you didn't need me to say yeah. Sorry. I don't know. Like, to me, Newton has never been an all-time great to me. Like,
no.
Not even close. Maybe if I looked at the best years of everybody who's considered to be all-time great, maybe he has a comparably all-time great season, but that just ain't enough.
They have that, what is it called? Like the chess rating, the ELO rating? Is that what reference sites use? They have the similar players. It's always been a little bit above me, beyond me, to understand that. But you see some great names on his page for whatever. It's a pretty short shelf life. Game 4 is tonight. Spurs and Knicks.
Yep. Burp.
Have you ever fallen asleep during a game that you were at? you think?
Definitely not.
Even kids?
Definitely not. No, well, no. I think any time I went to a – I never went when I was real, real, real little. So, like, maybe 7 years old is my first time going to the Odd, say. And then, really, the same year, 8 years old would have been the stadium. There was no falling asleep at that football game, that's for sure. And I think to be in the Odd as a little kid, like, there was too sensory, there was too much going on for me to ever feel. There was too much stuff to look at. Like, when you're a little kid sitting in the Odd for the first couple times, you're as fascinated by the cigarette butt sound buffer things hanging from the ceiling as you are by what's going on the ice. What are those things? Right? Like, there's just too much. There's no way. No. There were a couple of Sunday afternoon games when I was doing my nighttime show on BEN and going to the press box and, you know, going to the room after, like, kind of covering the game for all intents and purposes for my show, where I remember sitting in the press box watching a game, you know, 1997 or 98, and just being like, I could fall asleep right now. Yeah,
I think I've probably gotten there with baseball.
I could fall asleep right now. I'm not going to. I think that would be rude. People might notice, like, but I, you know, oh God.
I don't think I ever came close to it for a game when I paid for a ticket. But, you know, maybe a random
press box
baseball game or something.
Yeah.
And I think if I ever had, in that case, any sort of instinct that I was about to fall asleep, I would just get up and leave.
Right. Like, it's just, right.
That's, I'm not going to fall asleep in this chair, you know. But, you know, easy for me to justify that.
Yeah, we were, just gonna, you know, go, we're talking about, you
play,
know,
video
in
games.
Our, in our 20s or 30s,
right,
at the time. It's, you know.
Just going to go home and play Tiger Woods golf.
Right.
And then fall asleep doing that.
Right.
That'll be better.
Where no one can see me.
Joe Goodberry coming up in 20 minutes on the Bengals. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.